ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। नारायणं नमस्कृत्य नरं चैव नरोत्तमं देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततो जायमुदीरये। नष्टप्रायेषु अभद्रेषु नित्यं भागवत सेवया भगवती उत्तमश्लोके भक्तिर्भवति नैष्टिकी। कृष्णाय वासुदेवाय देवकी नंदनाय च नंदगोपकुमाराय गोविंदाय नमो नमः। Hare Krishna. So today we'll be discussing from 7th canto, 3rd chapter, verse number 9th and 10th. So the 10th verse is written on the board. Please repeat after me. Tat aham vardhamanena tapayoga samadhina kalatmanos cha nityatvat sadhishye tathamana tadham vartamanena tadham vardhamanena tapo yogo samadhina tapo yogo samadhina kalatmanoscha nityatvat kalatmanoscha nityatvat sadhishye tathamana sadhishye tathatmana tadaham vardhamanena tapo yogo samadhina kalatmanoscha nityatvat sadhishye tathatmana tadaham vardhamanena tapo yogo samadhina kalatmanoscha nityatvat sadhishye tathatmana tadaham vardhamanena tapo yogo samadhina kalatmanoscha nityatvat sadhishye tathatmana. Please repeat. Tadham vardhamanena kalatmanosya nityatva sadhishye tathatmana tadham vardhamanena samoyogo samadhina kalatmanosya nityatva sadhishye tathatmana tadham vardhamanena tapo yogo samadhina kalatmanoscha nityatvat sadhishye tathatmana tadham vardhamanena tapo yogo samadhina కాలాత్మనోశ్చ నిత్యత్వాత్ సాధిష్యే తథాత్మన. మాతాజీస్, తదహం వర్తమానేన తపోయోగో సమాధినా కాలాత్మనోశ్చ నిత్యత్వాత్ సిద్ధిషే తథాత్మన. సో విల్ సీ వర్డ్ టు వర్డ్ మీనింగ్. సో దిస్ వర్స్ అండ్ ప్రీవియస్ వర్స్, 9th అండ్ 10th వర్స్ ఆర్ టుగెదర్ ట్రాన్స్లేటెడ్ అండ్ కమెంటెడ్ బై శ్రీల ప్రభుపాద్. So I'll just read the 9th verse as well, so that we can take the word to word meaning. Shrishtva cha param idam tapo yogo samadhina adhishyate sarvadhi dhishnebhya parameshti nijasanam. Word to word meaning. Shrishtva, creating. Chara, moving. Acharam, and not moving. Idam, this. Tapa, of austerity. Yoga, and mystic power. Samadhina, by practicing the trance. Adhyashate, is situated in. Sarvadhishnebhya, then all the planets, including the heavenly planets. Parameshthi, Lord Brahma. Nijasanam, his own throne. Tat, therefore. Aham, I. Vardhamanena, by dint of increasing. Tapa, austerity. Yoga, mystic powers. Samadhina, and trance. Kala, of time. Atmano, and of the soul. Cha, and. Nityatvat, from the eternity. Sadhishe, shall achieve. Tatha, so much. Atmanaha, for my personal self. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada ki? Translation. The Supreme Person within this universe, Lord Brahma, has gotten His exalted post by dint of severe austerities, mystic power and trance. Consequently, after creating the universe, He has become the most worshipable demigod within it. Since I am eternal and time is eternal, I shall endeavor for such austerity, mystic power and trance for many, many births. And thus, I shall occupy the same post occupied by Lord Brahma. You all repeat after me responsibly. The Supreme Person within this universe, Lord Brahma, has gotten his exalted post by dint of severe austerities, mystic power and trance. Consequently, after creating the universe, he has become the most worshipable demigod within it. Since I am eternal and time is eternal, I shall endeavor for such austerity, mystic power and trance for many, many births. And thus, I shall occupy the same post occupied by Lord Brahma. Purport. Hiranyakashipu's determination was to occupy the post of Lord Brahma. But this was impossible because Lord Brahma has a long duration of life. As confirmed in Bhagavad Gita, Sahasra Yuga Paryantam Ahar Yad Brahmano Vidu. 1,000 yugas equal 1 day of Brahma. The duration of Brahma's life is extremely great, and consequently it was impossible for Hiranyakashipu to occupy that post. Nonetheless, his decision was that since the self, Atma and time are both eternal, if he could not occupy the post in one lifetime, he would continue to execute austerities life after life, so that sometime he would be able to do so. Om Ajnana Timirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Svayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Svapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yuta Padakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunathan Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Saitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakan Vitamscha Namam Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishtaya Bhutale Shrimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Nitinamine Namaste Sarasvate Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvisesha Shunyavadi Paschatya Deshatarine Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Srivasadi Gaurabhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna. So firstly, I would like to offer my gratitude to Asim Krishna Prabhu for giving me this opportunity, because when I just started reading Bhagavatam, in first couple of verses only we get to see that the sages at Naimisharanya give a list of qualifications of who should be Bhagavatam speaker. So when they sat in front of Sudha Goswami, they glorified Sudha Goswami for being completely free from all vices, well versed in physical and metaphysical knowledge, and being blessed by all his superior people. And of course, in some purports there, Prabhupada also mentions that one should be well versed in all the six systems of philosophy to speak on Srimad Bhagavatam. So for myself, I don't suppose any of these qualities are there, but still, as a matter of service offered by Asim Krishna Prabhu, I would like to endeavor to speak something for my purification of heart. So now in this context, we see a very unique story in the Bhagavatam. Now the seventh canto starts with a question by Parikshit Maharaj. He had a burning question in his heart, and it is naturally a question of everyone who hears something about here and there from Puranas. So they get a doubt that how is that Supreme Lord is favoring demigods sometimes, and he is killing demons. So by this activity of Supreme Lord, many people feel that Supreme Lord is partial. You know, he is favoring only demigods. Now when this question was asked by Parikshit Maharaj to Shukadeva Goswami, Shukadeva Goswami becomes extremely happy, because he got yet another chance to speak more about Supreme Lord. And of course, to dispel the doubts of those people who foolishly blame Supreme Lord to be partial. So Shukadeva Goswami speaks that there are three modes in this material world, and by the influence of time, sometimes Sattvagun becomes prominent, and sometimes Rajogun, and sometimes Tamogun. So he says that when Sattvagun becomes prominent, those living entities whose bodies are made up of Sattvagun, they become more powerful. like the demigods and the higher living beings. And when the mode of passion becomes prominent, demons become very powerful because their bodies are made up of passion. And when tamogun becomes prominent, yakshas and rakshasas become more powerful because their bodies are made up of mode of ignorance. So we see in the history that sometimes demons overpower demigods and sometimes demigods overpower demons. So this keeps on going on. Just before this pastime, or rather after Prahlad's story, we see that again Bali Maharaj overpowers all the demigods and throws them out of their post. Right? So in history we see that demigods and demons keep on fighting. So then naturally question arises that how is it that we see that only Supreme Lord is favoring only the demigods? It is not clearly visible that Supreme Lord is favoring demons. So Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur explains that fire is also there in flame and fire is also there in wood. But when the fire is there in wood, we don't see the fire. We only see the wood. So similarly, when Supreme Lord favors the people, those who are in the mode of ignorance, we don't see Supreme Lord being physically present there. Shri Shri Radha Ras Bihari Bhagwan ki, Shri Shri Gaur Nitai Chandra Bhagwan ki, Shri Shri Sitaram Lakshman Hanuman ki, Srila Prabhupada ki. So Prabhupada in those purports gives an example of an electrician and how an electrician uses this electricity to either make something cold or make something hot. So when electricity by a mechanical arrangement, electricity can be used to cool down something by condensation. And similarly, by resistance and other physical characteristics, same electricity can be used to produce heat. So similarly, Supreme Lord is equal. We cannot say that either electricity is hot or electricity is cold. Supreme Lord is neither favorable to demons, neither to demigods. So giving this further explanation, Shukadeva Goswami speaks about how this same question arose in the mind of Yudhishthir Maharaj. Especially when the Rajasuya sacrifice got over, or during the Rajasuya sacrifice, when he saw that Krishna with his Sudarshan Chakra severed the head of Shishupal, and Shishupal got Ishwar Sayujya. He just entered or merged into the body of Krishna. So Yudhishthir Maharaj was confused that how this happened. Even those great sages who control their senses for thousands of years, they don't get Ishwar Sayujya. They don't get delivered. And how this happened? So Narad Muni takes out time and explains. He gives analogies and he tries to explain how this happens. And he told that this Shishupal whom you saw in front of your eyes entering into Krishna's body was none other than Jay and Vijay, who were there in Vaikuntha. And incidentally they were cursed by these four Kumaras who were trying to enter Vaikuntha. He speaks that in the first birth of the curse of the Kumaras, this Jay and Vijay took birth as Hiranyaksha and Hiranyakashipu. And then in second birth they took birth as Ravana and Kumbhakarna, and now they were all born as your relatives. So Shukadev, Yudhishthir Maharaj was being told by Narad Muni like this. And then after completing their curse, now they got liberated from that curse. So when this story was told, Yudhishthir Maharaj became more inquisitive about what had happened between Prahlad Maharaj and Hiranyakashipu. So Yudhishthir Maharaj asked this question, how was it that Prahlad was saved by Supreme Lord, although Hiranyakashipu tried to repeatedly kill him, like that. So now Shukadeva Goswami is continuing the story what Yudhishthir Maharaj told, Narada Muni told to Yudhishthir Maharaj. Although this is extension, not extension of the question, but it is a next story. The main question was why Supreme Lord, or how Supreme Lord is not equal to everyone. So even then Sukadeva Goswami is going ahead because there is a beautiful pastime awaiting and many lessons to be learnt. So now Hiranyakashipu, when he saw that his brother Hiranyaksha was killed by Varaha, he was very much agitated. You know, it looks as if the same kind of relationship Hiranyaksha and Hiranyakashipu had as the Ram and Bharat. Hiranyakashipu spoke as if, Hiranyakashipu acted as if he was very much concerned for his brother. But we will see that this attachment of Hiranyakashipu is not towards Hiranyaksha, like, you know, as a blood brother. It is rather to his own sense gratification. Because when Hiranyaksha used to go and rule or conquer any place, he used to bring that under Hiranyakashipu's rule. So Hiranyakashipu used to get sense gratification from Hiranyaksha. And Hiranyakashipu was precisely attached to the sense gratification which he was getting from Hiranyaksha. Because we see that the same blood relatives, when they oppose our sense gratification, Hiranyakashipu behaved worse than enemy. Like Prahlad Maharaj, only one small boy was against the sense gratification of Hiranyakashipu. And Hiranyakashipu behaved worse than demons. That's why when Prahlad Maharaj started prayers to Narsingadev, Prahlad Maharaj says that I was born in a family of Ugra Jate. He not even says that Asura Jati, he says Ugra Jate. Because nowhere we see that a father tries to kill his own son. Rather, most of the times, a father tries to enjoy seeing that his son is enjoying. But Hiranyakashipu couldn't do that because Prahlad was opposing to his sense gratification. And by this incident of Hiranyaksha being killed, Hiranyakashipu takes an enmity with Vishnu. He also speaks that we know that Supreme Lord is equal to everyone, but this time he made an error. He made a mistake by favoring the demigods and killing my brother. So he orders all his subordinates that go in all direction and destroy all those places where there is Brahmanical culture. And when the Brahmanical culture and the cows will be destroyed, Lord Vishnu will not get his share in yagyas. And if Vishnu doesn't get share of his yagyas, all the demigods will also ruined. He gives analogy that in a tree, when the it is not being watered, when root is not nourished, all the branches, all the leaves get dried up. So similarly, when Lord Vishnu will be defeated, I can easily defeat all the demigods also. So he was trying to make his plans of immortality. So then, to go to austerities, to perform austerities, he wanted to see a peaceful situation in his home. But the situation was not favoring. All his relatives, especially his mother and the widowed wives of Hiranyaksha, were very much lamenting. They were crying that how is it that our husband died, although he had such great strength. So Hiranyakashipu now starts using Bhagavad Gita philosophy as a painkiller. Now that the situation is not favoring me, so let me use the philosophy of Krishna, let me use the philosophy of Vishnu to temporarily settle the situation in the home, and so that later I can go to do austerity and kill that same Vishnu. So he speaks very elevated philosophy. The philosophy is very elevated. He says to the dead wives of dead Hiranyaksha that you all should not lament for Hiranyaksha's death. Because Hiranyaksha died a very glorious death on the battlefield. Although if we see, it was there was no battlefield. It was just fight between Hiranyaksha and Varaha. But Hiranyakashipu is comparing that to a death of a Kshatriya who fights Dharma Yudh. Just like Krishna also says to Arjuna, that for Kshatriya, a war should never be an impediment in his dharma. Because if he wins a war, he is glorified. He becomes a king, double king rather. And if a Kshatriya dies, he goes to heavenly planet. Or he gets a glorious death. So Hiranyakashipu is trying to give a false apprehension to his sister-in-laws. That you should not lament for Hiranyaksha's death. Hiranyaksha died a glorious death. He got a veer mrityu. And he speaks about Atma Tattva, that how soul is eternal. He gives analogy that in a restaurant many people come. They share a common table for some time, till the time they dine, and they leave to different destinations. So similarly, this world is like that. People come in the name of relatives, like wife, children, and they stay with the soul for some time. And by the will of destiny, they are taken away. He also gives analogy of how if we are watching a tree's shadow in a water, and by the waves in the water, we feel that as if the leaves of the tree are moving, or rather the tree is moving. But actually tree is not moving. It is the waves of time which make the tree as if it is moving. Since similarly in this world, which is compared to an ocean, the waves of time make us feel that now we are together. And after some time, the waves take a person away. So, Hiranyakashipu seems to be very, very, very shastrical when he speaks all this. And he goes ahead to take an example of how Yamaraj tried to console dead wives of dead Suyagya. So he is trying to take strength from an authority. He saw that the wives of Hiranyaksha were still lamenting. His philosophy is trying to give a painkiller, still not working. So he is using an authority, he is quoting an authority, because Yamaraj is a Mahajan. So people, when they quote someone, his strength becomes doubled, or rather he becomes more prominent in his speech. So Hiranyakashipu is taking example of Yamaraj, and how Yamaraj appeared as a small boy and spoke to the wives. And surprisingly, he gives one very good example which Hiranyakashipu repeats. And we will see that Hiranyakashipu falls pit in the same analogy. So Yamaraj says that once upon a time there was a Kulinga bird sitting on a tree with his wife. And by mistake or by incident, the hunter came there, and hunter shot an arrow to the wife of this Kulinga bird. And when he saw that the wife, that is Kulinga bird's wife, was dead by the arrow of a hunter, the Kulinga bird himself started lamenting that, oh, now what has happened? My wife has died. How will the children grow up? And how myself will live? Because wife is considered as half body, half self of a man. So if half of the body is gone, how will myself live? So in this way, when Kulinga bird was lamenting, the hunter took an opportunity and shot an arrow to the Kulinga bird also. So the Kulinga bird also died. So Yamaraj told this to the wives of Suyagya, that if you continue lamenting, you will also die one day. And it is sure, death is as sure as death. So Hiranyakashipu is telling this, but we will see that Hiranyakashipu falls pit in the same logic. He doesn't realize that he is going to die. And then, to achieve his end, Hiranyakashipu was successful by pacifying the wives of Hiranyaksha and his mother. So then Hiranyakashipu takes opportunity, he goes to this Mandara Parvat. So of course, 8 verses prior to this were not having purport. So we can just see how Hiranyakashipu was doing tapasya in these verses. And surprisingly, we will see that Narad Muni is taking all time to describe in detail how Hiranyakashipu was doing tapasya. So I'll just read from this second verse. In the valley of Mandara Hill, Hiranyakashipu began performing his austerities by standing with his toes on ground and keeping arms upwards and looking towards the sky. This position was extremely difficult, but he accepted it as a means to attain perfection. So we'll see that it was a very difficult asana. Rather, you know, Janmashtami Prabhu was telling, it is Hiranyakashipu asana, you know, standing on the toes, lifting his hands up and looking towards sky. Third verse, from the hair on Hiranyakashipu's head, there emanated an effulgent light as brilliant and intolerable as the rays of the sun at the time of dissolution. Seeing the performance of such austerity, penance, the demigods who had been wandering throughout the planet now returned to their respective homes. Fourth verse, because of Hiranyakashipu's severe austerity, fire came from his head, and this fire and its smoke spread throughout the sky, encompassing the upper and lower planetary systems, which all became extremely hot. Because of the power of his severe austerities, all the rivers and oceans were agitated. The surface of the globe with its mountain and islands began trembling, and the stars and planets fell. All the directions were ablaze. Sixth verse. Scorching and extremely disturbed because of Hiranyakashipu's severe penances, all the demigods left the planets where they reside and went to the planet of Lord Brahma, where they informed the Creator as follows. O Lord of demigods, O Master of universe, because of the fire emanating from Hiranyakashipu's head, as a result of his severe austerities, we have become so disturbed that we could not stay in our planets, but have come to you. Seventh verse. O great person, chief of the universe, if you think it proper, kindly stop these disturbances meant to destroy everything before all your obedient subjects are annihilated. Eighth verse. Hiranyakashipu has undergone a most severe type of austerity. Although his plan is not unknown to you, kindly listen as we submit his intentions. So we see that Hiranyakashipu took up a very difficult type of austerity, you know, standing in such position and looking towards sky, and by his austerities he was able to emanate fire from his hair, and that fire seemed so scorching that whole sky of this planetary system was filled with smoke. So much so that initially all these demigods who were wandering around the universe, they all felt that they cannot roam around and they had to go to their homes, that is in the Swargloka. And Hiranyakashipu continued doing his austerities, and we see that the fire emanating from Hiranyakashipu's head started tormenting these demigods even in their homes, that is their planets. Hiranyakashipu's austerities was so great that even stars and planets fell from their position. When we see in a fifth canto, all the description of how the stars and planets are aligned, we get to hear all this. And surprisingly, all these planets, some of the planets and stars also fell down because of this fire. So such was the great austerity of Hiranyakashipu. Hiranyakashipu, by his austerities, especially the fire, his whole body was also emaciated. We'll see in future verses that when Brahma came, even Brahma glorified the austerity of Hiranyakashipu. even we see that now demigods went to Brahma, it shows that even Brahma was fearful of going to Hiranyakashipu. He was fearing that how will I be able to see him, or rather, if I go to Hiranyakashipu, I don't know what he will ask me. If he asks me some benedictions which are very difficult to give, then I will be also be implicated. So in this way, even Brahma was hesitating to go. But when we see that Brahma goes finally on the request of demigods, he glorifies the austerities performed by Hiranyakashipu. He says that even Purva rishis, like Bhrigu and great rishis who do tapasya, they also failed to execute such severe austerities. Because Hiranyakashipu's body was emaciated and only bones were partly visible. Because he was standing in that same place for a long time, all the ants and worms made a small ant hill. And because of the fire, the whole situation was very difficult. And Brahma himself found it difficult that where is Hiranyakashipu after all? He could only understand by the fire that yes, Hiranyakashipu is there inside. And before Brahma sprinkled this water from his kamandalu, he is glorifying his tapasya. He says, O son of Kashyap Muni, please get up. All good fortune unto you. You are now perfect in performance of your austerities, and therefore I may give you benediction. You may ask from me whatever you desire, and I shall try to fulfill this. I have been very much astonished to see your endurance in spite of being eaten and bitten by all kinds of worms and ants. And you are keeping your life air circulating within your bones. Certainly this is wonderful. Even saintly persons like Bhrigu, born previously, could not perform such severe austerities, nor will anyone in future shall be able to do so. Who within these worlds would sustain his life air even without drinking water for 100 celestial years? My dear son of Diti, with your great determination and austerity, you have done what was impossible even for great saintly persons, and thus I have certainly been conquered by you. O best of asuras, for this reason I shall now prepare to give you all benedictions according to your desire. I belong to celestial world of demigods who do not die like human beings. Therefore, although you are subjected to death, your audience with me will not go in vain. So 100 celestial years Hiranyakashipu did such a tapasya, not just for one day or one week. He did that for 100 years. And when Brahma came, he is giving a kind of caution to Hiranyakashipu, or rather he is reminding that I belong to a celestial world where we don't die like you human beings. Human beings generally die out of old age or bodily disorder. But demigods don't die like that. And Brahma is reminding Hiranyakashipu that although you are not free from the subjections of death, but certainly I will give you some benediction. So in this verse particularly, the demigods are going to disclose the attitude of Hiranyakashipu while he is doing tapasya. So, Hiranyakashipu is thinking that Lord Brahma did lot of tapasya and got his post as Brahma. We see in Bhagavatam also that in the beginning Brahma was not capable of creating anything, and he did lot of tapasya. He meditated on Supreme Lord, and by the audience of Supreme Lord, he got the power to create the planetary systems and become the demigod, the ruler of this planet, this whole Brahmanda. So knowing well this, Hiranyakashipu is also doing tapasya, and in this verse you will see that Hiranyakashipu is foolishly comparing Kala with himself. No, he says that Kalatmanos cha nityatvat. So he says Kala is nitya and I am also nitya. So if not in some time or in this life, if I keep continuing austerities, someday I will get the post of Brahma. So he's thinking that by getting the post of Brahma, I will control Kala. That was is one of his attitude. But in this material world, where Hiranyakashipu was doing tapasya, Kala controls the Atma, the living entity who is conditioned. So, but he is trying to overcome this influence of time by trying to become immortal. And he says that, and he is ready to perform this type of austerity, where we see that Hiranyakashipu's body is emaciated and such severe conditions, he is ready to do it life after life, just because of his sense gratification. By external vision of this austerity, we see that Hiranyakashipu is not bodily conscious, because ants are eating his body got emaciated, rather no more existing, only some bones are existing. But he is grossly engrossed in this body, bodily concept of life, aham mameti. And for this sense gratification of body, he is ready to do performance austerity for life after life and get the post of Brahma. So here the demigods are disclosing the attitude of Hiranyakashipu. So demigods are telling that we have already lost the post. And history, or rather the stories in Bhagavatam are evident, the demigods become fearful any time a person does austerity. When Diti, not even just demons, sometimes even when women perform austerity, these demigods become fearful in the fear of losing their post. So just some time back, that is in 6th canto, we saw that Indra was scared because of Diti's austerity. In 4th canto we saw that Indra was fearful about Pruthu's performing the Rajasuya sacrifice. And all the demigods were also fearful by the austerities or the yajnas performed by Bali Maharaj. So in this way, demigods always try to hold on to their post by either going to their superior demigod like Brahma, or trying to fight themselves out of demons. But in this case, they specially saw that Hiranyakashipu is someone whom we cannot fight with. If we fight, just by his austerity they were tormented. So what will happen if they go face to face? So now they are going to Brahma with a plea and disclosing the identity or the consciousness in which Hiranyakashipu is doing tapasya. By this, actually, Bhagavatam is disclosing the attitude of demigods. Because demigods, they are so much attached to their post that they are also using the same analogy to convince Brahma to do something which is appropriate. Because demigods are telling, my dear Brahma, Hiranyakashipu is thinking of occupying your post. Now we have already lost our post. Because of the fire, the Swargaloka is not a good place of residence. And now that we have lost our post, if you don't do something now, you will lose your post also. So they are trying to impose their attachment on the consciousness of Brahma, that Brahma should do something magical so that the post of demigods remain intact. So indirectly, Bhagavatam is disclosing the attitude of demigods here. I mean, directly we see that demigods is disclosing attitude of Hiranyakashipu, and Bhagavatam is disclosing the attitude of demigods. But Hiranyakashipu's attitude was clear, as we see, as disclosed by demigods, that I want immortality. I want to sit on a throne, and in future verses you see he wanted to completely disorient the functioning of this material universe. He wanted to become Akela Ishwar. I should be the only and only ruler. And by getting such a power, one day I will be able to kill Vishnu. Because He considered Vishnu to be his direct enemy of his sense gratification. And for that, he goes to such an extent of trying to kill his own son, who is Prahlad Maharaj, and he is trying to use the same philosophy of Vishnu. Like, you know, if somebody comes to know that I am Atma, I am not this body, he will never lament. Like Bhagavad Gita, Krishna also says that a wise person never laments for one who is living and one who is dead. But Hiranyakashipu, instead of understanding this philosophy as a medicine, Atma Tattva as a medicine, he is using it as painkiller. He spoke the same philosophy to the wives of Hiranyaksha. So one very nice story I remember. At one point of time in a forest, a sadhu used to stay, and he saw that one day hunter came and he threw some grains which birds eat generally, and he threw the net and he left. And birds saw that there is a food to eat, and they came down flying in the sky while on the trees or while flying in the sky. They came and they were eating the grains, and few birds got caught in the net of hunter, and hunter just took them away. So the sadhu who saw this incident, he thought that I should do something benefit for these birds. But how to do it? Because if he comes directly and releases the birds, he cannot do it. So the remaining birds, the sadhu gives a song. He tells them very nicely that shikari aega, a hunter will come, dana dalega, you know, he will throw grains on the ground. Jal bichayega, you know, he will throw his net. So moh me tum ana nahi, jal me tum fasna nahi, you know, you should never get into illusion and get caught by the hunter's net. So he gives this song to these birds, and the birds get to it, you know, they also sing this song. Shikari aega, dana dalega, jal bichayega, and all that. But after some time, when the sadhu sees that the hunter comes again, shikari aya, you know, throw some grains on the ground, spread the net across, these same birds whom he taught this song, they were all singing this song. And while singing this song, they come and sit in the net. They were all singing, shikari aega, dana dalega, jal me tum fasna nahi. They all sing this song and come and sit in the same jal, and they get caught. So Hiranyakashipu speaking of this philosophy is also similar to these birds singing their song. Hiranyakashipu is telling that a wise person should not lament for dead. A wise person should know that soul is eternal. A wise person should know that it is all will of destiny, that everything happens. But still Hiranyakashipu is bent upon changing his position, or rather trying to become immortal. So this was the whole understanding of this verse, specifically the motivation with which Hiranyakashipu was doing tapasya of becoming immortal. And we also got to see how demigods were more interested in their own post rather than doing welfare for the universal management system. So thank you very much for patiently tolerating. If anyone has any question, they can kindly ask, or we shall end it. Yes, Mataji.
Hare Krishna. After Hiranyakashipu attained the benediction from Lord Brahma, he immediately dethroned Indra. So what was the logic of the demigods to approach Lord Brahma? You know, like the whole purpose was defeated. That was always a mystery for me. Can you explain something about that?
Okay, so demigods being attached to the post, they went to Brahma and disclose that even Brahma will lose his post if he don't do something. But we see that after being benedicted by Brahma, Hiranyakashipu overthrows Indra from their post and tries to rule. So although these demigods went to Brahma to secure their post was lost. But demigods had some faith in Brahma that eventually again will regain their post, regain the post which they had. So that's what in future it we'll see that because Brahma benedicted a very peculiar benediction to Hiranyakashipu, Lord Vishnu took a special form to kill this demon Hiranyakashipu. Because this doesn't end here. In future we will see that when Prahlad was being tormented, or rather Hiranyakashipu started tormenting the whole universe, again demigods go to Vishnu and say that we thought that if Brahma benedicts, you know, their understanding was this, when Brahma benedicted Hiranyakashipu, we thought we'll, we can go back and sit in our seats again. But again Hiranyakashipu has thrown us out. So that time Vishnu promises them that this nuisance which Hiranyakashipu has done, it will last only up till the time when he will not offend my devotee, who is his own son, that is Prahlad Maharaj. And once Hiranyakashipu will offend Prahlad Maharaj, I will take necessary action. So rather, actually in this incident, demigods failed initially to secure their post. So it is a failure from demigod's point of view to approach Brahma to get relief from this austerities of Hiranyakashipu. Hare Krishna. Any other question? So I would like to end here. Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki, Granthra Srimad Bhagavatam ki, Nitai Gaur Premanande.